Welcome to Excellent Adventures, where I, your host, Reece Sweeney, take a step away from my duties as a radio and TV personality and give you a first-hand look at my other love, backyard chickens and homesteading. Take a listen to conversations I have with others who are in farming, homesteading, and connected brands. And some of those conversations go a little like this.
She does say I have too much, though. She says I have too many, but I don't think I have enough.
The chicken math started mathing.
Yep, it's never ending.
I only started with like 4 laying hens. Now I have over 100 chickens and geese and quail.
So the first question we ask everybody that comes on to the Excellent Adventures, what was your old cluck moment?
The first thing that comes to mind is when the first time I got locked inside one of my own chicken coops.
We talk about the highs, the lows, and everything in between. Now let's see who's on this episode of Excellent Adventures. All right, we're back at another Excellent Adventures. We have another special guest. Now this is an extremely special situation. This is our second international guest. We have Andy here from Spam Valley. I'm a big fan of her page. She is super funny, super entertaining. Man, I love your chicken content, love your animal content. You have a lot of fun, and this is what it's all about. We like to have a lot of fun, of course. So without further ado, let me introduce our first guest ever from Scotland. Andy, what's going on?
Hello. So yeah, I have 24 chickens, which is great because every so often people ask me how many chickens I've got, and I'm like, 20?
I don't know.
And then I've got 4 dogs. The 4 dogs was a total accident. The first 2 were planned. The third one was kind of like thrust upon us, and then the fourth was just we need one to balance. This doesn't balance. So it's a bit of a weird situation. The worst thing is we don't have like a homestead. In Scotland, our homesteads would be like crofts. Mm-hmm. I just live in a normal 3-bedroom house on a residential street. My neighbors hate me.
Can you bribe them with eggs? Can you give them eggs so they won't hate you?
I've just told them, like, if ever you want eggs, just help yourself to the eggs that are in the box. Don't pay for them. Just grab as many as you need. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen. The best I've had is someone complaining about my rooster. I'm just there like, okay. So I brought both roosters inside the house and kept them in separate rooms overnight to make sure they weren't misbehaving. It was one of the hens.
It was one of the hens growing.
And I'm just there like trying to go through all the things to make sure my roosters aren't waking them up. And it was literally the hen.
Wow. That's not a first. Yeah. Hens are noisy sometimes. We got one that does the egg song all day long.
Oh, the egg song threw me through a loop when I first heard it because I was just like, what is this? Why is she screaming? And then I was like, I think that one there is singing, but I'm not sure. My partner who helps me with the chickens and that is actually really good because he genuinely grew up on a homestead. Okay. So he's just like, that's normal. That's normal. They do this. And at one point he had like 400 chickens.
So it's, oh, wow.
Yeah. Apparently I'm torturing him in cruel and unusual ways.
It's nice to have somebody that actually knows too that can help out, though. It is. It really is.
And his mom used to be the crazy chicken lady because she was the one that organized the 300 chickens, and she actually visits us now that we have chickens.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's great. How did this chicken journey get started? We have a question. We say, what's your old cluck moment? What was that moment that you realized chicken life was for you?
Okay, so when my granny died, she left me a lot of money that I put into one of these ISA funds that you can't access it for like 3-4 years. Mm-hmm. And then I put it back into one of those funds, and I put it back into one of those funds, and it was maturing. And I was like going through a box of 6 eggs every day because one of my dogs has a skin condition, takes an egg every day. Then I was going through 2 for my lunch, and I was just giving all the dogs an egg each because you can't really give one to one without giving it to the others. Mm-hmm. And it was getting expensive. It was like £2-3 a day, which isn't a lot of money, but it's the inconvenience. If I've got to go to the supermarket, get the eggs, if they're sold out of eggs, I have to get more expensive eggs or different eggs. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if I get chickens, I can just grab my chickens and go into my garden and grab my eggs. Mm-hmm. So my eyes are matured and I was like, okay, we're doing this. We're getting chickens. Got the coop. We set the coop up together. And then my partner drove up to Oban and got the hens, and it's been a wild ride ever since.
A very wild ride. What did you start with? How many did you start with?
10 Bowman Browns, but we ordered 8, and then I phoned the guy back and was like, can I get 10? So it was already on a slippery slope.
Very much so. How long did it take you to get up to 24?
Not very. We got our hens on the 27th of September, and we're already at 24. There's a village about half an hour drive away that has another crazy chicken lady, but she is a purist. Like, she does the pure breeds. And she had a Serama going for free. And I was like, okay, there's a free hen. I'm getting the free hen. And she gave me a rooster to go with the hen. So I was like, this is going to be great. So for a while, I went for the classic party trick of, would you like to see my rooster?
Yeah.
But using a different word and then surprising people with my photos. It was great fun. And I had these two Seramas. And then Wonky, the Serama, went into brood mode and had chicks, but the chicks didn't make it because Wonky ended up flattening them, and nature's quite cruel. And then we ended up with another Serama hen. So we've got three Seramas. And then the 10th of February, we got another 10 birds because I found out you can get the blue eggers. And then there were some white hens and some grey hens. And I'm like, that's kind of tempting because all my girls look the same. So we got another 10 on the 10th of February. And then 2 weeks ago, I think, Brendan, my partner, was actually up in Loch Ilped doing some painter decorating stuff for a friend. And someone in that little town was like, I've got a rooster that we can't keep. Would anyone like him? And I'm like, me. So that's how we got the second rooster.
That's amazing. That is chicken math at its finest.
Spring has sprung, and guess what? That means chick season is here. So if you're looking to start your flock, add to your flock, or maybe add a few ducks, chickens, or geese, My Pet Chicken is the website for you. And if you're just getting started, they even have a tool to help pick the perfect poultry for your backyard flock. Check them out today at mypetchicken.com. Right now, you can get $10 off when you join the SMS club. mypetchicken.com. Raise fun, happy, and healthy chickens from live poultry to coops and supplies. My Pet Chicken has everything you need to start, grow, and maintain your backyard flock. Shop today, mypetchicken.com.
And I've been told no more chickens, but I'm sure I can sneak a few more in.
You could probably get a couple more.
Well, I'm trying to convince my mom, who lives down in England, to get chickens. And I'm like, if it doesn't work out, I'll take them. If it doesn't work out, I'll take them. With the hope it doesn't work out. So I can just be like, well, I had to bring them home. They weren't coping.
You have to. I have to bring them, right? That's pretty cool. That is an incredible story right there. What are some things that you've learned just from keeping these chickens?
The expensive coops are probably photographed without any chickens present, and that's why they look so nice. As soon as you start adding the weight of 10 chickens that sleep in one nesting box, the coop starts falling apart. So the best bit's probably like get like a shed and adapt a shed rather than get this, you know, the twee little, look how cute my coop is. Chicken feed, they don't really care what they eat as long as there's food, if that makes sense. Like when I first got them, I was buying bird seed as like treats in the afternoons. So I'd get their pellets and then give them their treats. And it's like, they don't care for their treats. They're just happy with more pellets.
Yeah.
I learned that chickens can quickly become more expensive than actual eggs. But it's the convenience thing of, instead of having to go out and get eggs, if I've got no food in the house, I've got eggs in the garden.
Yeah.
So it's like, and I learned chickens can purr, and I think that's like the sweetest thing I've ever learned about chickens. They purr.
Yes, they do. They look cool.
It's just so cute. I go out there and I'm playing with my girls and then she's just purring and it's like, I can't. It's too cute.
I love that. I love that. I know some people too, they find like mental health benefits by being around their birds. Has that been your experience?
I have PTSD, anxiety, and like depressive tendencies. And sometimes like I struggle to get out of the house enough because like sunlight's good for you. And you know, we don't have much sunlight. We get two sunny days a year. And I found that with the girls, I'm just going out in the garden and just like plodding along, not doing really like anything. I'm just sitting out in the sunlight, which I think is probably beneficial. But no, it's just, it's nice having that little motivation, that little incentive to go outside because I need to feed the girls. And then like once I'm out feeding the girls, it's like, well, I'm just going to sit here and enjoy a bit of time with them. I'm just going to.
No, yes, I absolutely know. Some days life just makes you not want to do too much and going outside with chickens or whatever animals you have, it can definitely change your mood, especially watching a chicken run. There's no way to be sad watching chicken drumsticks run across a yard.
That's literally it. When they weren't laying eggs, when they were still like too young to lay eggs, it was just the thing of I can go out and tell them that I'm selling them to KFC. And it's just like the giggles that follow after I say, right, I'm phoning the colonel, you're going off to KFC.
I love that. It's just,
but no, they're just funny little animals and they're so sweet and they're so good natured.
Yeah, they are. They are. And I love that you said that they help with the lawn care expense too.
They do. I was like, I don't have anything to do with my garden anymore. I don't have to buy my dog's flea medication. I mean, I probably should, but I don't have to because there's no grass for the fleas to come into contact with the dogs. Mm-hmm. So it's like, there's all these other benefits.
Yeah, they'll eat mites and fleas and stuff too. So
yeah. So I don't even have to pay the dog groomer. It's actually been quite funny because the hens have swarmed the dogs a couple of times, and our Labrador is just like a complete idiot. He has no clue what's going on. And he gets surrounded by chickens and he's just looking at me like, what are these things?
What am I supposed to do?
And we've got little steps down to the garden, and there's times I've been like trying to get down the steps and you can't just because of the sheer number of chickens that like, you're out, you came to say hi. But no, they're great fun.
That's cool. And I see it says Spam Valley Croft. Croft would be, what would that be like, the equivalent homestead. Of a homestead here?
Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And Spam Valley is when they were building the street of houses. The joke was the people that bought them were too poor to afford the houses. So the only food they could afford was Spam. I'm just there like I'm running with that Spam Valley, let's go.
I love that. This is the most very creative name, and like I said, when I'm watching your social media, it's just entertaining. Your energy is great. I really like it. I mean, we kind of have the same humor. Everybody doesn't get it, so I definitely understand, especially with the rooster jokes.
The rooster jokes are just great because every so often you go up to the wrong person in the pub and they're horrified thinking I'm trans, especially when the hair is like bright pink and bright blue. They genuinely think I'm trans, and it's like, it's the best thing ever.
That is hilarious. Tell me about, like, what is your daily routine there with the animals?
So the way it works is sometimes I work away from home and I will do like a 48-hour shift in a town a couple hours drive away. But when I'm at home, I'm usually up fairly early. First thing I do is I go out in my pajamas and my Crocs, and I get the chicken food and I feed the girls. I check their water. If the weather's nice, I bring their water back out and I have a coffee with my ladies. I have my little coffee morning with them. And then I go in, do my usual shower, get dressed, whatever. And then I go back out, see the girls, check on them, see if there's any eggs. And then kick about the house for the day, take the dogs down the beach if the weather's nice, the usual. And then nighttime, it's, you know, check on the girls, make sure they're happy. And then, yeah. Quiet evening once it gets dark.
Nah, that's pretty cool. That sounds like a fun day.
I've always said that I want like a really boring, uneventful life. And this is it. This is my boring, uneventful life. And I've never been happier.
That's cool. I think as you get like a certain age, the priorities change of what's fun. So like,
I was in England this time last week, and I was calling it an urban hellscape because everything is concrete, everything is traffic. You've got to drive from one retail park to another. You've got to drive from the retail park to the supermarket, and it's just like, I don't like that. And it's like, I really like the thing of it's not uncommon to have backyard chickens in the town where I'm living. Whereas if I were to do that in this corner of England, people would be horrified because chickens aren't a pet. They live on farms. And it's like, I do like how we've got this trend of urban farming becoming more of a thing now.
Okay.
But I love being in the countryside. The countryside is just like my home.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. That is really cool to see, like, the shift and what you're thinking about doing now. Have you thought about moving even further into the actual country, getting more land?
I'm trying to convince my mom to sell her house so I can actually buy a proper homestead, because with the value of the two houses, I could buy like 15 acres of land. I could have pigs. I could have sheep. I could have a quad bike. It would be fantastic. But my mom's not on board.
Not yet.
No, because it would give her the money to buy like a little two-bedroom house somewhere, but she doesn't want to shift, and it's just, yeah.
She'll get there.
She'll probably die before she gets there, and then I'll get the money anyway. It's the worst thing. Sooner or later, I'm getting that croft.
I understand. I definitely understand. So one of my dream animals is a Highland cow, and they come from Scotland.
Yeah, we have them. I drove past some yesterday.
Wow.
I see them all the time in the fields. They're just everywhere. They're great.
That's amazing. Is that one of the things that you want to? I heard you say sheep and piggies. So
15 acres of land, we probably could have a few cows of some sort, but I don't know. Cows kind of always give me the fear.
Yeah.
It's like horses. I love horses until I'm on top of one. And then I'm like, I don't like this. Can I get down?
It's a little high up. That was my experience too. I was like, you know what? I ended up getting some rescue ponies, and that worked perfectly for me. They're half a horse. They have an attitude problem, but it's okay. Because at least I'm bigger than them.
I went to go see a family member out in France. This is an 11-year-old boy with autism, and it was the best thing ever because we went horse riding together. He got a pony. I got a horse. Mm-hmm. He asks for a reinforced horse because I'm overweight. He then tells the horse that he'll be okay, that everything will work out fine, and if it doesn't work out fine, he'll become a pancake that quickly that he won't feel anything. I'm just like...
Wow, kids.
I love this kid.
Yes, yes.
So yeah, that was a lot of fun. I'm never going horse riding ever again.
One thing I do notice, though, with kids, especially kids that are maybe not as verbal or dealing with autism, when they get around these animals, it's usually an awakening point for them.
Yeah. Yeah. We think my partner has autism. He's in the process of like, do I go get diagnosed? Should I just live with this? And I've really noticed with the dogs, he is just in his happy place. He just settles down and he's in his little bubble. And it's really nice that people can do that now. And it's really nice that, you know, you have these support animals, that you have access to these things.
It is. It definitely is. And then when people sometimes that aren't familiar with autism, it can be two totally different sides of the spectrum. So you can have Asperger's where you are totally functioning, but just your thought process, sometimes you want to clam up. You don't want to communicate with people, which is totally fine. And sometimes you might be on the other end as well, but it's great to see the animals can help that.
Absolutely. And I think like there's more research needing to be done. Like there's more, it shouldn't just be, you know, therapy dogs. We should have a look at more options. Mm-hmm. But I think like in the next 20 years or so, things will drastically change and it'll just become, this is my support canary.
Yeah. Let me bring him on the plane, please.
Oh, I would love that. Right.
I'm all for support chicken.
Yes, please. I actually had someone send me this meme of a duck drinking someone's beer in a pub, and I was told like, do not bring your support rooster to the pub or else. And I'm like, not my support rooster, it's just my massive rooster.
Got you. One thing that we have to worry about here are some predators, like raccoons are one of the bigger things here because they're so small, they can pretty much get into anything, but they can cause a lot of damage. What are some predators that you guys have to watch out for?
We've reached that part of the show where we hook you up with some insider information, and this time it's some egg side information. Y'all know what I mean. Because people ask me all the time, how do you get your chickens so fluffy and healthy and happy? And their eggs are so bright, beautiful, and they taste delicious too. I would love to dedicate all those things to me coming in and having a great time in that chicken coop every day and shaking it up with those ladies, but the fact is it comes from a healthy and balanced diet of Purina's Laina. That's the brand we use. Whether you've got laying hens and you want to go with the Purina Laina plus omega 3, or you got a bunch of baby chicks running around in your brooder and you go with that Purina Start and Grow Crumble, you can't lose. I know we haven't. So visit their website today, and in 3 easy steps you can get discount coupons for the Purina product that's right right for some great nutrition for your animals. I did it myself and it only took me about 2 minutes. It's absolutely worth it. And to make things easier, we have the hyperlink on our website, blackyardchickens.com. Just look under product of the month and you'll see the link right there to go and try your Purina Feed greatness. And through their trial program, they can pair you with the right nutrition and let you try it with your animals and see the results. Now, I can tell you all day how Purina Feed greatness has been absolutely phenomenal for my chickens, goats, ducks, and rabbits. But you can see for yourself. Go to blackyardchickens.com. Now, let's get back to this week's adventure.
Mink, Scottish wildcats. I don't think they're proper wildcats that we've got in Argyll. I think they're more ferals. Badgers. Someone told me that they had beaver steal their chicken, but I'm not sure if I genuinely believe that or if that's like, you know, one of these things of there's beaver in the area and they're just blaming them. Foxes and dogs. But because I've got the 4 male dogs, we don't get anything like that in the garden. And one of our dogs is an absolute nightmare for barking at the slightest thing. So if anything came into the garden, we would know of in seconds, which is handy.
It is. That's a great alarm system.
It is. It's the best.
And he works for eggs. That's great.
Yep. And the Labrador is probably the worst predator we've got because he will just stick his head in the coop and grab an egg and walk off. And then he would just like, he would go into a quiet patch of the garden and just chew it open and eat it. And I'm just looking at him like, did you seriously do that?
He did. How was it introducing the dogs to the chickens? Because it sounded like you had the dogs first.
It was kind of complicated. We went through the whole fencing them off, putting them in a run. And that was actually a lot worse because the chickens were contained and couldn't escape from the dogs. Like they could because they were in a run, but they couldn't really. Right. And our border collie actually dug his way through the run within 2 or 3 days. So we ended up free ranging from that point forwards. And then we had a few issues where they jumped the fence. They went to say hi to another neighbor. So we had to deal with our, you know, fencing and get that all blocked off. But aside from occasionally the border collie would herd the chickens and we've trained that out of him. And then Hamish and Ghost, well, Hamish is a Cairn Terrier and he would just go into hunt mode. And for a while, he had no off-lead privileges in the garden. If he wanted to go out in the garden, he had to be on a lead. He had to be on a very short lead. And eventually he learned chickens are friends, not food. But every so often he just was zooming past. It's like, okay, he's going back in now. So we've got him very well trained that if he messes up, he goes straight back in the house.
Gotcha. He enjoys his freedom more than he enjoys a fresh chicken sandwich.
I think so. Makes sense. Hamish has always had a thing for birds. If he sees a bird flying overhead, he used to get up on the little couch at the window and just bark his little head off.
Got you. Man, that's great that you'll be able to make like blend those two families together and now everybody's kind of working together. That's cool. So you kind of told me the dream setup and situation. So what do we see? Can you run through your wish list again? Because that's part of chicken math. I started with two chickens.
An actual picture croft. To get my family on board with getting chickens of their own, even if it's only like 3 or 4, because they're not big egg people, but it's for the gardening aspect as well.
Yes.
I would love to see more people have local food because we are not on an island. We're on an isolated peninsula and most of our food comes from miles and miles away and it's not good for carbon emissions.
Okay. So it's not like fresh food, right?
We don't really have much fast food where we live. Our nearest McDonald's is a 3-hour drive away.
Yeah.
So it's like very much food shipping. Everything gets shipped from the national supermarket down the road to us and it's not ideal.
Okay. I understand.
I'd like to see local farming becoming more prioritized, but I'd also like to see more like grassroots farming. Like I've got this patch of land, I'm gonna grow some cabbages and maybe sell them for cheap. I'd like to see people go more into seasonal eating because it's healthier, it's better. Yeah. And long term for myself, I would love to get a croft, even if it's only like 5 acres. It's just more land to do more things with. And like I've said before, you know, I'm going to start a doggy daycare. I'm going to get 1/2 acre fenced off that will just be an area for dogs to run around in. It'll be right next to the house. We can have like a back door open so dogs can come straight in, straight out. Then I'm going to have my chicken area. Then I'm going to have this area, that area, that area, that area. I'd love to get pigs because pigs are just fantastic for working soil. If you've got an area where nothing will grow, you put a few pigs there, 2-3 years later, completely fertile, completely fixed.
I can see that.
I'd love to get like a horse because where we are is very mountainy, very lumpy. And for 15 acres, it's not worth getting a tractor. You might as well just go old school and horse it.
Yeah. Makes sense to me.
Yeah. The woman has a plan. I don't think I'll be there soon, but hopefully.
The lady has a plan. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Brendan has no clue that he's getting dragged along for all of this.
I find out very shortly.
So pack up for moving.
I love that, man. Pigs, you're right. I'm 2 weeks into being a pig daddy, and I got two pigs. I got two potbelly pigs, and the way they're rooting into the soil, I can already see what's about to happen. I can see that they're going to make a positive shift.
They're great.
Mm-hmm.
Very destructive, but fantastic. Yes, what they do.
Very destructive, but I had to learn to shore up my fencing, and now we've got a better relationship.
Yeah,
that's cool. That's cool, man. I really appreciate this. This interview has been amazing. Just talking to you about your journey. I know some people will be able to pick up some things and pick up some tips and tricks, especially when you talk about implementing dogs that you've already have, even with the high prey drive with your flock.
Yeah. Anything like that is doable. It just takes patience and discipline and like consistency.
Yeah. Yeah. I do want to ask you this. I know it gets pretty cold there. Like you said, you only got two real sunny days out there per year. So what in the wintertime?
Wet than cold. So like we get sort of -5 Celsius is our coldest in the winter. But it's rare we get that low because of where we're positioned on the Kintyre Peninsula.
Yes.
We're actually quite mild. We've got the jet stream right next to us. So it's like very mild. We get frost, we get a wee bit of snow, but nothing major like you get in the north of Scotland. So we're quite lucky.
Oh, that's awesome. I was going to ask you, like, is there any specific things you need to do during the winter time when you had them? But
the Saramas do come inside for the winter, but other than that, nothing special.
Cool.
We're quite lucky.
Got you. I love that. Last thing, what bedding do you use on for your nesting boxes and stuff?
Sawdust. For the Saramas, only sawdust because they're quite small. They've got little lungs. For the bigger brown girls, the Lohmann Browns, the Bluebells, and the Sussexes, and the Blacktails. I forgot about the Blacktails because they look like the Browns. they get a bit of straw or hay in the winter just to keep them a bit warmer. And then in the summer, sawdust.
Got you.
Because it's just easy. You can take it straight out and compost it.
We've reached that part of the show where we hook you up with some insider information. And this week, it's all about eating, petting, pasture. And I got a 20% discount code for you. As farmers, we know the love and care it takes to raise happy and healthy animals. So choose the best when it comes to bedding, premium cut Timothy hay, and treats for your furry and feathery friends. So if you're looking for super absorbent hemp bedding or nesting pads for your laying ladies, look no further than Eatin' Pet and Pasture. Check them out right now at eatinpetandpasture.com. And first-time shoppers get a 20% discount by typing in Reese at checkout. That's R-E-E-C at checkout. Now let's get back to another excellent adventure.
Got you. With us here, so we are, as everybody knows, no secret, in America, we have some disparities when it comes to what's going in our food, the quality of our food at the big grocery stores. Is that the case with you guys too? And do you see a difference in the type of foods that you like now that you have your eggs? Do you see a difference in the eggs?
My eggs are a lot better than like the supermarket eggs, and it's very noticeable when you crack the shells, because mine, you have a hard job getting into the shells. And that's the only complaint I've ever had about my eggs. They're too difficult to crack. Other than that, aside from like the bright yellow yolk, no major difference other than, well, actually the flavor, they taste a lot better. We haven't done any meat with our chickens yet. We're kind of, they're our babies. We don't want to.
Once you name them, you can't eat them.
They're all called Nugget. And as much as I like chicken nuggets.
No. I think I saw your post about fresh chicken nuggets too. That was funny.
When we had the chicks, they were called Popcorn, Zinger, and Twister. Which is going back to the kernel again.
Right, exactly. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's been great.
This is awesome. This has been awesome. You guys make sure that you follow her on Facebook because we're friends on there. Do you have an Instagram page too?
I do. It's annoying with three G's and then Andy with three I's.
Okay, we're going to be following you as of today.
That'd be really nice.
Awesome. Last question. Is there any advice you would give yourself if you can go back before you got chickens? Would you give yourself? What advice would that be?
Get a shed, not a coop. You can fit more hens in a shed. You can put their food in a corner and you can adapt the shed easier than you can adapt the coop that's going to fall apart after 3 weeks.
Thank you again for joining us. This has been an excellent version of Excellent Adventures all the way from Scotland.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Excellent Adventures powered by Blackyard Chickens.
Now, if you think you want to raise your own backyard flock, here's the site for you, blackyardchickens.com. We make entertaining videos about raising baby chicks from scratch. You know what I mean by from scratch, right? Or maybe you want to learn how to take care of your own big chickens or hens and get those fresh eggs, building a coop or buying a coop, having the necessary things inside that coop to get great egg production. You'll learn a lot of the neat tricks I've picked up along the way from other chicken enthusiasts, and you can get pretty eggs just like those. So follow us on social media and check us out on our YouTube channel.